If that did not stir you, while I'm getting ready, you may want to check your pulse. You may have passed away. That was awesome. One of the things that drew me to the Primitive Baptist Church was the lack of religion. I grew up in a mainline church, and there was a lot of religion. We even had a bulletin where the pastor would say something, and then we had to say something back. Then he'd say something, then we'd say something back. And sometimes I went with my friends to the Catholic Church. And this was in the old days. And they had the Latin Mass. And I don't know if you ever experienced that. But I did as a child. I'd go with them. And the priest would get up. And I didn't understand Latin. And it sounded to me like he said, "We like to play dominoes." And the congregation would say, "And so do we." I didn't know what they were doing. But it was religious. Really, there was an aura about it, and everybody was quiet, kind of like you get sometimes. And everybody was quiet, and when you went out, you felt like you had been in the midst of religion. And they liked that. They liked that. And not everybody likes that. But I didn't like it either. And so when I came around the Primitive Baptist, I found that they had very little religion. They'd preach this guy, they'd preach that guy. Somebody'd show up, they'd preach him too. They just, you know, Primitive Baptists are just different. If you don't know that, it's probably because you were raised Primitive Baptist and you don't realize how different you really are. My nephews came down from Chicago, and they were never in the church or anything, and they've joined our church, and they started bringing people, and the reason they were so good at bringing people is because they didn't know they were different. When they invited people to church, and other people said, "Yeah, we'll come," they thought everything was the same. They didn't realize how shocked their friends were when they walked in our door, and we started things like calling out songs. I don't know if you know that. They don't do that in other denominations. If you call out a song, they'll tell you to stop it. See? And you come in here and people are, 214, 518. Sometimes the guy can lead it and sometimes he can't. And we have, you know, really, it's true. No offense. But we have a saying in our church, if you don't like organized religion, come on over to our church because we're just unorganized. So I want to talk this morning about, you might be a Primitive Baptist. If you walk into church and your pastor knows your name and the names of everybody in your family, you might be a Primitive Baptist. If you've ever washed somebody's feet besides your own, you might be a Primitive Baptist. If you belong to a church that doesn't have committees, you just might be a Primitive Baptist. Let's take a look at some of the things we believe. And I'm going to do the short version because, as I said, Friday night, I think it was, or maybe I said it in my sleep, I don't know. But it's not complicated. It's not complicated. By the way, you might be a preacher if you've ever dreamed that you were preaching and you woke up and you were. But anyway, I'm in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. I have enjoyed my time here immensely. I love both of these brothers very much, and being in their presence has been a great encouragement to me. I'm somewhat isolated in Florida. We don't have a lot of Primitive Baptist churches, and they're far apart. I don't get to see other ministers for months on end sometimes, and this has been a great encouragement for me. And you've allowed this to happen. You've caused this to happen so that we could have this time together. And on behalf of all of us, the preachers, we're very thankful to you for your support and your encouragement in allowing us to have this time together also. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, around 742 B.C., Isaiah said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." Well, that's good. We want a sign from God. He said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." There was a time when all Christians believed in the virgin birth. All Christians believed in the virgin birth. Go with me to Matthew chapter 1, please. Many Christians today do not believe in the virgin birth. They think it's too impossible. And it's something we don't need to defend because it doesn't matter anyway. If Jesus had Joseph's blood in him, it doesn't matter. Because you see, the blood of Christ wasn't that important anyhow. See how it goes? See how you get from one bad doctrine to another? But we believe differently, don't we? We believe the blood of Christ is very important. And so we have to stick to this. And here's a point that we will never give up on. And that's at Matthew chapter 1. Let's go to verse... let's go all the way down to verse 21. And she, the angel, said, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. A point of English, shall is stronger than will. Shall is stronger than will. When MacArthur said, I shall return, that was stronger than I will return. I shall return. And so years ago, they started calling us hard shell Baptist. Nothing wrong with that. We are hard shell. Some illiterate turned it into hard shell, which doesn't make a bit of sense in the world. We are not hard shell. We are not a hard people. We're some of the kindest, softest, most people in the world. Just look at me. And so, you're laughing in the wrong places. But anyway, basically, we're a sweet people. We're not hard shell people, but we are hard shell people. Amen. And so, if you believe, like I do, in all three of these statements, and she shall bring forth a son, and all Christian denominations said amen, because they knew that she brought forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and all Christian denominations said amen, for he shall save his people from their sins, and only the primitive Baptist said amen. See, we believe he did it. He did not come to make me savable. He came to save me. That blood you're talking about was effective. And it was effective because he was virgin born. And if you believe in the virgin birth, you just might be a primitive Baptist. We still believe that. Let's talk about our doctrine. Short version. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read a little bit from some of my favorite parts here in the Bible, my favorite part, one of them. And it's just short. It's real short, but it has our doctrine. And here's the difference now between us and other people. The thing that struck me about primitive Baptists when I first came among them, and I came among you as an adult, and I was critical of you. I didn't like the primitive Baptist. They weren't nice buildings like you have here and good pastors. It was a little different where I was. So I was a little critical. But things like this convinced me to change everything, to jettison all religion, everything I've learned about religion, and to become a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what I wanted to become. And here's where it kind of starts. The Apostle Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The only thing I want you to get from that is we are now talking about Jesus Christ. We are not talking about ourselves, and we're not talking about each other. We're talking only about Jesus Christ. And see if you can find yourself in these verses, because this is almost the totality of what's happened that's important in history. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Okay, this is Glenn. No, this is Glenn. I'm a little bit bigger than that. Anyway, this is Glenn. And so now I have to decide, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to go to heaven? What must I do to get eternal life? And so here's what it says here. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. If I choose to drink this, it's my choice only. This has no part in it. This doesn't scream out when I go into the 7-Eleven, Glenn, Glenn, take me. I'm better than the others. I'll be kinder to you. I'll worship you, Glenn. This doesn't say anything. I reach in there and I pick whichever one I want because it's my choice. Why? Because I'm paying for it. If I'm paying for it, it's my choice what I'll have. You and I, we believe in having that freedom, don't we? But we don't want to give it to God. We get the freedom to pick. He doesn't. He has to be fair. He has to. You know, if I went to 7-Eleven and got one, and the guy said, now, hold on, buddy. You got to take them all. And you got to pay for them all. You got to take them whether you want them or not. I'll tell you, I wouldn't take any. I'd leave them all there. I'd go find me another place to buy water. Well, but we want Jesus to be held to that, but we won't hold ourselves to that. Well, in this verse it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Okay. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Right. Now, I'm still reading that, and I still haven't found myself doing anything yet. I'm still being acted upon. I'm not acting. And this is before the foundation of the world. But he's made me holy, and he's made me without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us, not things, but predestinated people, to what? To do what? Unto the adoption of children by our good works. Oh, no, there's Jesus again. By Jesus Christ to himself, according to, now I'm going to find Glenn, according to the good pleasure of his will. I'm still left out. So far, if I want to be in the main line religions and believe in works, I can't find myself. I still haven't done anything yet. I've been acted upon. I've been loved. I've been selected. I've been raised. I've been made holy. All these things have been happening to me, and I still haven't done anything yet. This is a strange belief system to somebody who, like me, who came and saw it first. Say, okay, now let's read verse 6. Why did he do all this? Because he knew who would be good, and so he selected the right ones. But that's not what it says. It says he did this to the praise. This is a funny sentence now. You got to stay here. To the praise of the glory of his grace. So his grace has a glory, and he did this to praise the glory of his grace. I still haven't done anything. You say, well, you've praised him. No, he did it to the praise of his glory. He demands perfect praise, and I can't give it to him. So he praised himself to the glory of his grace. Wherein he hath made us, Glenn, accepted in the beloved. I say, okay, I'm the beloved. No, I'm not the beloved. Jesus is the beloved. I still haven't done anything. I can't find my, and it goes on, I won't read it all because I said this would be the short version. In whom, Jesus Christ, we, and Glenn included, have redemption. Ah, redemption, I like that. Through my works, through my good deeds, through my piety, through my religiosity. I can't even say it. Through my religion. But it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. There's Jesus again. He's like the most busiest person in the world. And I'm like the lamest, laziest person in the world because I haven't done anything yet. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to, got me now, to the riches of his grace. And I'm not reading anymore because I've read this before. I've read the whole Bible through about 24 times. And no matter how far I read it, no matter how many times I read it, no how many times I'd like to slip myself in, I never get in there. It's always him. He's done it. He's done it. And I talk to my other friends of other religions, and they have the idea they've done it. And I don't know where they got it. Right. And so they say to me, you're weird. Well, weirder than you were before. But now you're really weird because do you believe in once saved, always saved? I said, you bet I do. I've been reading that all through here. They say, you know, you might be a primitive Baptist. Well, that's right. Because at our church, we don't believe that. We believe in keeping the sacraments. We believe in you have to have faith. The denomination I came from believed you had to have faith. Other churches believe you have to be baptized. Some believe you have to be baptized. There's a whole litany of things people have made up to do. And when I came to the Primitive Baptist and I started to understand the preaching of the gospel in plain language, without a lot of religion, just some singing and some praying and then the preaching of the gospel, it started to get through to Glenn, as goofed up as I was and as muddied up as my brain was, that there is a Christ, there is a God, and I'm going to heaven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that's the doctrine of the primitive Baptist church, and it's their doctrine because it's the doctrine of the Bible. And we don't meet once a year in Indianapolis or Atlanta or somewhere to decide what we're going to believe for the next year. You know, they do that. You didn't know that. Oh, they have to give their pastors and the whole staff big paid trips, and they all go up there and they sit around. Are we going to ordain homosexuals this year or not? Everybody else is doing it. Yeah, let's put it off another year because we're conservative, you know. That's the kind of problems they have. Our problems are very serious. Is it perseverance or preservation? Wow, that's weighed us down. They're over there ordaining homosexuals and putting women in the pulpit and all kinds of things. That if you just read, they got a lot of problems over there because they got a lot of religion. And the more you get man in it, the more problems you're going to have. It's better to keep it simple. And if you want to keep it simple and believe in the virgin birth and believe in the doctrine of election and that Jesus Christ saved his people, that Jesus Christ actually knew what he was doing on the cross. He didn't set die for everybody and then hope some people would catch on. That would put him at odds with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and that's not going to work. They're not at odds with each other. Jesus Christ died on the cross and actually knew what he was doing and paid for the sins of his people. Then you might be a primitive Baptist. If you can sing, "What can wash away my blood? Nothing but what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus," you might be a primitive Baptist. If you sing, "What can wash away my sins? Something plus the blood of Jesus," you might not be a primitive Baptist. If you can sing "Amazing Grace" and mean it, you just might be a primitive Baptist. It's one of the most popular songs in the world. I did a funeral out in California, in L.A. one time for a dead police officer. He wasn't slain. He had died. And way up on the hill, they had a bagpipe playing "Amazing Grace." I'm going to tell you, when that wafted down the hill and out into the bay, I still get chill bumps thinking about it. And when I explained afterward at the dinner they had a reception, what I believed about "Amazing Grace," people got excited that had never heard it. I'll tell you, what we've got is exciting. Amen. If you believe it. If you believe it's amazing grace. There was a book, "What's So Amazing About Grace?" My answer, everything. That was the shortest book. That's one page for me, you know. Okay, Matthew 28, we don't go there. We've talked about the resurrection. He's talked about it. I've talked about it. We believe in it. We believe in the resurrection. "Salvation by grace" is my motto. "He is risen" is my battle cry. I can say "salvation by grace" and even have other people say, "Well, I don't believe that," and that's so forth, and we can walk away. But I will never deny that he is risen. That's a battle cry to me. We will die over that doctrine right there, that Jesus Christ is alive now. He didn't say, "I'm like the resurrection. I'm a type of the resurrection. I am the resurrection." That's hard for us to get through. That he, you know, I could say I am a minister, but really I'm a lot of other things too. You know, I'm skin and bone and all this other stuff. And I'm a parent and a father and a husband. But Jesus said, "I'm not like the resurrection. I'm not. I am the resurrection. I'm the life itself. The reason you have any kind of life is because I'm life, and my Father loves life, and we love life, and I am the resurrection because I have conquered death, so I'm going to love life continually." And like our brother here said, you can have that life now.
Right.
I said the other day, instead of people say, "Oh, when I get into glory or when I get into eternity," I'm in eternity right now. I can't die. I can pass from this life to the next life. But I can't die. So I am in eternity right now. I'm an eternal being. And that gives me comfort. If you believe in that, you might be a primitive Baptist. Well, what do we do? First century church. That's what you're doing right now. If the Apostle Paul walked in here right now and sat down, I would like to think that if he listened to the praying and the singing, and if he understood the language, and if he listened to the preaching, he'd say, "That's what we had in mind. That's what we had in mind. You're doing the right thing. Keep doing it." But suppose he walked into some churches with a rock band and guys throwing guitars and jumping off the stage and screaming and all that. Well, that might be what those people want. But I can't imagine Paul going, yeah, dude, cool. Awesome. Take up a collection. Let's have some announcements. Preaching. We don't need preaching. We're in the Spirit. I can't imagine Paul doing that. I can imagine him being comfortable right here. When I felt that way about the primitive Baptists, I knew I would someday have to join them. I didn't join them when I felt that way. I delayed it for a long time. But I knew in my heart I was a primitive Baptist. And when people would say, do you go to church? Yeah. Which one? I'd say, well, primitive Baptist, but I'm not a member. If some of you have ever done that, maybe we witness with each other. I'd tell them, I'm not a member, but that's where I go. That's what I believe. How come you're not a member? Well, that's my business, you know. But I go there. I knew I would be a primitive Baptist. Now, I delayed it, but I knew it. We don't believe in evolution for the world, and I don't believe in the evolution of the church. I don't believe the church is supposed to evolve into something. I believe Jesus gave us the church, and we're supposed to stay there. See, I don't think we're evolving now as human beings. I don't think animals are evolving, and I don't think the church ought to evolve either. If you agree with that, you might be a primitive Baptist. Whether you've joined yet or not, you might be one. If you think Brother John ought to kick it up a notch around here, get a few guitars in here, have a couple fundraisers, and stuff like that, you might not be a primitive Baptist. We're not trying to evolve the bride of Christ. This that you're in now is the bride of Christ. And we're not trying to fix it because it's not broken. I have a sign on my desk. The Church of Jesus Christ is not something to be fixed. It's a garden to be tended daily. It's up to me to adorn the church, make it look as good as it can, brag on the bride of Christ, not sit around and talk about what's wrong with it all the time. There are things we can correct. We can talk about those, but that's not my main way of operation. My main way of operation is to brag on the bride of Christ, tell people why I love the primitive Baptist, why I'm a primitive Baptist, why I don't have any plans to change, and as long as I'm in my right mind, I will never change. I will be a primitive Baptist till the day I die. Because I know they're not going to leave this word, they're not going to leave this doctrine, and I'm not going to leave them. Now, I used to say, if they leave it, I'll leave them. I'm convinced at my age now they're not going to. We've got young men coming up. They have the same doctrine. They have the same love. And we're going to stick to the doctrine of the Bible, and we're not going to change things. We're just going to do the things God told us to do and reap the blessings. And if you can be happy with that, you just might be a primitive Baptist. Go with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 11. We'll take a little look at Acts for this reason. Somebody says, now, Brother Blanchard, here's a problem. When the apostles were here, they had church a certain way. But the apostles are gone. Now, if the apostles are gone, how do we know how to have church? That's a good question. That's a legitimate question. Somebody comes to me and says, I want to know why primitive Baptists have church the way they do, and we don't have any apostles. Well, that's legitimate. Let's take a look. Acts chapter 19. I'm sorry, chapter 11, verse 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Remember when Stephen was stoned? Everybody ran. They traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So, They're struggling with this a little bit. That first of all, they've had to leave Jerusalem. But I'll tell you who didn't leave. None of the apostles left. That'll come up later. The apostles stayed there. But these people did not, and so they started preaching to the Jews only. Verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now look what we've got here. And I hope you caught it. We've got a church growing up made of all kinds of people, and there are no apostles there. It's Camp Creek. It's what you've got here. All kinds of people whose only thing they have in common for most of them is the love of Jesus Christ. And so they've come together, and you have a pastor, and you have another minister here, but you don't have any apostles. He can't do miracles. He can't raise the dead. We're not building our church on miracles. We're building our church on the Word of God. And that's just what they did, because the apostles hadn't left Jerusalem yet. And so what we believe and what we do is what God expects us to do. That's what the church was designed to do. If you're happy with that, you might be a primitive Baptist. Let me show you one more thing. 11:24. They get a man named Barnabas. He comes and he starts preaching to them. He gets excited because the church in Jerusalem heard about a church in Antioch. And so Jerusalem said, "What's going on over there?" So they send somebody over there, and Barnabas says, "What are you people doing here?" And so we're reading the Bible, we're preaching, we're praying, we're singing. He said, "That's perfect." He gets so excited, he stays there for a while. I'm getting excited about this right now. Verse 22, "Then tidings of these things came out of the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas. He should go as far as Antioch. When he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man." He's a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people were added unto the church. You know what they were doing there? Exactly what you do here. This is what the church is supposed to be like. If somebody says, "How do we organize a church in some place where there's never been one?" There it is. You don't need an apostle. You don't need miracles. You need the Word of God. And you need people obeying the Word of God and the people responding to the Word of God. "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." Listen to this. "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves." What do you think this weekend is? He's excited about his church. And what does he do? He brings some other preachers here. Why do you old Baptists do that? Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to get other preachers into our church and have them excited about our church and teach our church other things that we haven't taught them perhaps, or show them, or even just reassure them of what's been taught. That's what we're supposed to do. If you've ever attended church 3 days in a row, you might be a primitive Baptist. Right? 3 days in a row. I've got new members that didn't grow up in the primitive Baptist, and they say, "Well, what's an annual meeting?" I said, "We have preaching Friday night, all day Saturday and Sunday." They go, "What?" And I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to be brutally honest. Some of those refused to come to a three-day meeting. And I'll tell you why. They weren't raised that way. It takes a certain kind of spiritual muscle to sit through a three-day meeting. When my wife told me they were going to do that, I said, "Not me. I'll see you Sunday. And I'm not going to that. 3 days of that." You know, it's like the grandmother had took her grandson to church, and she came out. She said, "Oh, I'm filled with the Spirit." And he said, "Yeah, I've had it up to here too, you know." So I understand, you know, I've been there, so I get it. But that's what he's doing here, and that's what they're doing here. And so what's the result? Verse 27, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch." Now we got some Jews coming from Jerusalem to Antioch. "And they stood up, one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar." That's history. It really did happen. Verse 29, "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability," not talking about apostles now, disciples, people like you. "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea," Jerusalem, "which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." What primitive Baptists do, once they get the teaching and the baptizing down, they start to do good works, not to get into heaven, but because they're going to heaven. They didn't take up a collection. They weren't so ill-taught as to take up a collection, thinking that if they gave a lot of money to the head church in Jerusalem, they were going to heaven. They did that because they were going to heaven and wanted to show their charitable nature, just like their heavenly Father. Isn't that you? Isn't that why you do good works? Because your Father has done a good work for you and you want to display it? If you do good works because you're going to heaven, instead of doing good works to get to heaven, you might be a primitive Baptist. You might actually have the horse in front of the cart. You know, that's a blessing. Now, I've never ridden a horse and cart, and I'm not going to ride a horse and cart, but I can imagine that would be a great blessing to have it hooked up right. told a story, and I'm going to tell it to you. It has some bearing on this. I've learned the joy of imitating my Heavenly Father. Not mocking Him, but imitating Him. And I'm going to give you a simple current one to show you how it happens. I've told some of the people this already. It just happened Wednesday night after church. Some of us went to Wendy's. And there was a woman there. She's the most surly, unfriendly woman I've ever seen waiting on human beings. She ought to be waiting on people in a zoo or something. But she just surly. There's no other word for her. And every time I've been in there with other people, I have murmured. Those of you who were here yesterday, I have murmured about her. Look at her. I'd fire her so fast. You know, her shadow would be standing around going, where'd she go? I don't even know why I come here when she's here. I don't like her. Well, I don't know. I was feeling kind of good. It was after church Wednesday night. And so as I came through the line, I was the last one. I said, do you ever want to tell people, why don't you eat at home once in a while and give me a break? And so she kind of smiled. That was the first time I saw her smile. And then when she was sweeping up, there was nobody else in there but us. And I said, why don't you leave that and just go home early? You deserve a break today. She said, if I took a break like that, I'd get fired. Me and my baby would be out on the street. I started to feel sorry for her. So before I left, I called her over. I saw her name tag was Sarah. And I said, Sarah, come here a minute. And I said, I want to give you something for you and your baby. And I put $50 in her hand. And I do that every once in a while. And you don't have to do that if you don't want to. A lot of people think I'm crazy. But there was a thing called random acts of kindness. I believe in random acts of giving. And sometimes I'll find somebody to just give them money. And it has to be pretty much somebody who doesn't know me and can't do anything for me. That's the way I want to do it. And I learned that from my Heavenly Father. You may well believe I did not learn that in Chicago. I don't do that in Chicago. Be more likely to steal her hubcaps, you know, on the way out to get even with her and teach her to be nice. But I learned that from my Heavenly Father, who does good things for me when I don't deserve them at all. He just does it because he likes doing that for his children. The look on her face as I left, and as she showed it to the other people in there who were working there, was worth, I wish I'd given her $100. Except that I had to tell my wife what I had done. And so I came home, and I said, how you doing, darling, honey, sweetheart? You look good. I buttered her up. And I said, by the way, I gave $50 to this woman at Wendy's. And, well, why? Well, I told the story I just told you. She didn't say anything. I kind of done it before, and she didn't say anything. And she said, by the way, one of the families in church that we kind of helped a little bit last week, a couple weeks ago, they had some, not marital problems or anything, just difficulties. And not with money. We just spent some time with them. They gave us a card. Open it up. And there were $100 worth of gift cards in there to Red Lobster and places like that. I gained $50 by being nice. Now, I didn't do it, but that is so typical of my Father, that I don't do good things to get something. I do good things because I got something, and He said, I'm going to give you something anyway. That's happened over and over. And if you believe in that kind of thing, if you believe a God that still works in people's lives and a God that's a rewarder of them that do good, you just might be a primitive Baptist. If you believe in a good God, a God that cares about you and loves you and will reward you for doing good deeds, even though you don't want a reward, I didn't know anybody giving us a card and I didn't care about that. I enjoyed giving the money away because my Father has enjoyed giving me money. And so I enjoy doing it too because I want to be like my Father. I worship Him. So you might be a primitive Baptist. Well, you do things here at Camp Creek. I read about them in the other newsletters. And you do them because you love the Lord. The Thanksgiving baskets and the Thanksgiving time you spend in it. You're not doing that to get to heaven. You're doing that because you're going to heaven. And you just want to give something here. I know every church, and I know Oak Hill does its things, Camp Creek does its things, we do ours, and they're not the same. And that's okay. Each church has its personality. They say a church takes on the personality of the pastor. A lot of people are praying for Winter Garden, I'll tell you that right now. That's a big thing right now. I want to encourage you, if you are a Primitive Baptist, to be the best Primitive Baptist you can be, to reflect the love that God has shown upon us by grace. You might be a Primitive Baptist. If you felt unworthy of the love you've received from your Heavenly Father, and you feel that you can never be good enough to earn it, that you can never be good enough to deserve it, and that in my case, you can't even be good enough to reflect it, you might be a Primitive Baptist. If you've ever shed tears in church, you might be a Primitive Baptist. And I wrote this one late last night. If honoring God's sacrifice for your sins is your most precious possession, congratulations, you might be a Primitive Baptist. If you are one, step up to the plate. Help your pastor, help the deacons, help one another, love one another, because God has bestowed the greatest gift on you He could. You didn't earn it. You're not smart enough to get it yourself. You didn't deserve it. You couldn't do enough good deeds. He just did it because He chose you over others, and that's His business as a sovereign God. You say, what about these people that don't understand it? Do not look down at them, because I remember when I didn't understand it. I hadn't done anything wrong. I just didn't get it. And then when God showed it to me by His grace, it wasn't because I got smarter. It wasn't because I got better. It was because God shed His grace upon me. And that's what grace is. You giving something you don't deserve. And He sent His only begotten Son. And when it dawned on me that He did it for Glenn, think about this. A plague overtakes the world. Everybody's dying by the thousands. A little boy gets the plague, so a lot of people have the plague. But the difference is, this little boy lives. He actually lives through the plague, and he's fine. And the doctors come to the parents and say, we've got good news. Your son, it's the most amazing thing. He's the first one who has lived through this plague. That's the good news. The bad news, his blood is now the antivenom for everybody else. And if we take enough of it, it'll kill him. But it will save the world. What would you do? I'll tell you what my father did. He sent his only begotten son to give me the antivenom so that I don't have the disease anymore. Oh, I'm not perfect. I do a lot of things wrong down here. But I don't have the disease anymore. And so I can't die anymore because he sent his only begotten son. And listen, just like the story about the little boy, it took every drop of Jesus' blood. He had to give it all. He had to pay for it all. He had to take care of everything. And he did that on the cross. And if you believe that it was the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else, you just might be a Primitive Baptist. And if you're not a member, why don't you come up and join today and let us rejoice? We'd love to rejoice with you. Thank you for your good attention. May God bless everyone.